Amen. If you would remain standing in honor of the reading and the hearing of God's word, I invite you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 6. As a reminder, this is the word of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, what joy to praise your name, your magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. As we come to your word now, we desperately need your help so that we can be discerning. We recognize from your word and even from our experience that there are those in this world who seek to deceive. And we want to be, as your word tells us in one place, wise as serpents and yet harmless as doves. So we need wisdom this morning, Lord, as we come to your word to understand and appropriate what is before us. So I'm asking, Holy Spirit, will you work in the preaching of your word? I pray that you would fill me and speak not my words, but your words to your people to be heard, and give them ears to hear. Drown out distractions. Shake off the sleepiness that some may be experiencing so that they can hear your word and that they can be instructed by you to discern. Help us now, I ask again in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm preaching this morning on this subject. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. So let me ask you with that. Do you believe everything you hear? No. I'll bet you don't. I get most of you don't. There are news channels, and I'm not getting on one side or the other. I'm just saying there are news channels that you don't believe, you won't listen to. Those of you that are on social media, there are people on social media that you just completely disregard. As soon as you see a post from them, you immediately say, I know, I don't need to listen to that. I had a conversation with someone, this has been a few months ago, and it was about a book. They'd been given a book that they were going to read, and they flipped the book over. And I think someone else may have pointed it out to him, but the book was blurbed, not written. You know what the blurbs are on the back of the, you know, like the dust cover, someone recommends the book. The book was blurbed by someone they didn't like, and so they threw the book away. The person didn't write the book, but they blurbed the book, so they pitched it. The point is this. We filter, we vet information as it comes to us. We act with some sense of discernment with information that comes to us. I think most of us would agree with that. Question. Do we exercise that same kind of filtering when something comes to us with a Christian veneer to it? When it's a spiritual matter, particularly a professed or supposed Christian matter, do we exercise that same sort of filtering and discernment as that information comes to us? Or do we simply say, well, they said they were Christian? Or this particular guy, person, well, he's a preacher. Got to be telling the truth, right? I thought somebody might laugh at that one. You know the old joke of how you know when a salesman's lying? His lips are moving. That's right. Maybe some might say the same thing. But do you filter that as it comes to you? See, 2 weeks ago, when we were last with John, John told us that the Spirit of God, capital S, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of God reassures the hearts of believers. That is one of the works of the Holy Spirit, is to give assurance to believers of their position with God. But John immediately follows that with what we have now in chapter 4 before us, with the fact that there are other spirits, lowercase s, that also want to affect the way you think. They want to affect what you do. So John wants us to know, how do we determine what spirit we're hearing from? What spirit we're listening to? Because the Holy Spirit does give assurance to believers. That's true. But John is going to tell us this morning, there are other spirits that you need to be aware of that want to deceive you. They want to delude you. They want to send you down a wrong path. And so in our text this morning, in verses 1 through 6, John gives us two tests that we can apply to determine what spirit we are hearing from. And the tests are very simply, number one, what do they believe about Jesus? What do they believe about Jesus? And number two, where are they from? That's the two tests that John, you could probably subdivide those further if you wanted to, but that'll be our framework for this morning. What do they believe about Jesus, and where are they from? So if you look with me, look at your Bible, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already." So I want you to notice just some preliminary stuff before we actually get to the test. I just want to set a few things before you. Notice how John refers to his readers again. And I just want to keep putting this before us Sunday after Sunday whenever John uses it, because I think we can blow by. You notice how he begins this paragraph with the word beloved. And later on, he's going to address them as little children. I just want to remind us this morning, this is not just filler language for John. What we believe about the Bible is, and this will be your nickel worthless theological term for the day, we hold to plenary verbal inspiration, which means every word is inspired. The Spirit of God did not inspire some general thought that John then wrote down. The Spirit of God inspired every single word. Dave talked about inspiration probably some last week, if I remember right. Every word is inspired. So the use of that word beloved is there for a reason. It's not filler. And he's not simply trying to endear himself to the readers. He is expressing his heart for these people. I just want you to hear that. This is not a seminary lecture that John is giving them. This is not a supervisor and an employee situation. I want you to get John's love for these people. John is not carefree with regard to his audience. He wants what is best for them. He loves these people. And that's why he addresses them as he does, as beloved. And that's why he tells them, after instructing them, and what we looked at 2 weeks ago, that the Spirit of God brings assurance, he comes right behind that because he loves them to tell him, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Now, I want you to notice something here, because we can get into some weeds here, and there are some folks out there that would interpret this passage in a way that I don't think is accurate. I don't think what John is calling us to do is something like a poltergeist. I don't think he's calling us to a seance here to test the spirits. And I'm going to show you why in the text. I don't think that is what is in view. You'll find people that will say that. So to test the spirits, when you talk to someone, you think they're demon-possessed, and you can be demon-possessed. You think they're demon-possessed, so you start to engage with that spirit that's in them. I don't think that's what John has in mind. And if you look at the text, I'll show you why I think that. So he says, at the beginning of verse 1, that we are to test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And then there's a comma, and then he tells us why we are to do that. Why are we to do that? For many what? False prophets have gone out into the world. We test the spirits because there are false prophets, false teachers that have gone out into the world. The spirits that we are testing are the spirits that are behind and informing the false teachers in this world. Those are the spirits that we're to test. So the content of someone's teaching is indicative of the lying spirit that stands behind it. That's what we're supposed to be testing. He doesn't say test the spirits because there are false spirits that have gone out into the world. He says there are false prophets. In his immediate context, if you recall, we haven't looked at this for a while, but there were those called cessationists who had left this congregation that John's writing to. They had denied, we've looked at a lot of their teaching already, so I'm not going to rehearse that, but they have left. They're false teachers. They've turned their back on Christ. They've turned their back on the truth, and they have left that congregation. So that's immediately who he's speaking about with these false prophets. But it is just as relevant today in 2021 as it was when John wrote this letter. There are many false prophets who have gone out into the world. And that's what we're to test. So I just want to maybe set you at ease a little bit, because you can come to a text like this and you can think, man, this is getting into some funky, weird stuff that I'm not sure I'm ready for. What John wants us to know is there are false teachers in this world, and what they teach needs to be discerned and tested to see if it's from God, because if they're a false teacher, there is a spirit behind them that is not the Spirit of God, that is not the Holy Spirit. So we are to discern what they are teaching, including me. As I stand before you week in and week out, don't believe me just because I stand up here. Don't believe me just because you see my truck here during the week. If I have something to say to you that is not from the Word of God, question it. And that's why you won't hear me preaching a series on movie clips. And you won't hear me preaching the world's latest and greatest ideas. Because apart from the Word of God, I don't have much to say. You have to test, not I'm not saying just look at everybody else. I'm telling you need to test what I say. That's why you need a Bible open. Because you know what? Listen, this might aggravate some of you. You know what I can do with this? I can just show you what I want to show you. You all right? If you don't have a Bible and you can't open it up and see what came before and what comes after, I can put an ellipsis in at the beginning and I can put an ellipsis at the end and I can make it say whatever I want it to say. Bring a Bible. Bring a phone. Bring a tablet. Bring something so you can see the text that I'm preaching. Don't just sit there and stare at the screen. Now, my intention is not to do that, but I'm telling you it's unwise. And you set yourself up for difficulty if you can't look ahead and say, well, that's not what that means. You set yourself up for false teaching. So discern the Spirit. So let's look then at the test. We can move into what he says this test is. Familiar phrase, and you can trace this through John if you want to pick up his pattern. Beginning of verse 2, we've seen this time and time again. By this you know the Spirit of God. Here it is. If you want to listen to a false teacher and see if what they're teaching is true, here's how you do it. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So I want you to see, I want to take three things out of this statement, because we could spend a significant amount of time on this statement. This is the test. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. This is what you need to know, and this is the filter by which you need to discern the teaching that you hear, whether it is here or on your phone or on your computer or somewhere else. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So I'm going to give you three things to think about on that and just kind of walk through it. So first of all, Jesus Christ. Now you guys know this. This is elementary. Maybe some of you don't. Christ is not Jesus' last name. And I'm not trying to be flippant or silly, but we live in a culture where we have a first name and a last name. Wade McGee, Eddie Poland. We have a first name and a last name. And so a lot of times when people hear Jesus Christ, they just think that's Jesus' first name, Christ is his last name. It's not. Christ is his title. His name is Jesus, which means Joshua, which means Savior. Christ is his title. So in order to confess this truth, one has to understand that this man, Jesus, who really, literally, physically lived, I mean, that's one of the most attested facts in the history of mankind. If you don't believe that, write your date down today. So what is it? Today is what? August 8th, what? Why is it 2021? You say, oh, well, it's common era. Okay, why is it common era? What happened about 2021 years ago? There's only one man who changed time. So anyway, so they have to believe that, yes, Jesus came, but he is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He is the one that God has appointed, that the Old Testament pointed to, that the Old Testament called out for thousands of years that this one was coming, the Christ. He is the one that God has appointed. He is the only one that God has appointed. There is no other. And so that's the first thing that has to be believed, that Jesus, this man that we have a record of in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the Christ. He is who he said he is, and he is who God said he is. But then he goes on, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, just think with me for just a moment, has come. Has come in the flesh. If he came in the flesh, he had to come from somewhere. He didn't just appear. John's words are very precise. He didn't just appear. He wasn't just made. He came, which means he left somewhere else. He came from the Father. He is the second person of the Trinity. You cannot understand a spirit right, discern a spirit, unless you understand the triune nature of God. You get that right there from he has come. He came from the presence of the Father, Father, Son, and Spirit to come into the flesh. He came from somewhere. You all came to this building this morning, didn't you? Did y'all just magically appear here? No. You came from somewhere. That's how the language works. So to understand this test that John gives us, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh has to recognize that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one God sent. He came from God. He is the second person of the triune God. You have to understand the Trinity. And when he came, he didn't simply come, but he came with a purpose. Why else would he come? You have to understand the atoning work, the life and death of Jesus Christ. That he didn't come to be an example. He didn't come to be a social activist. That he came to die on a cross in place of sinners so that those sinners could be set free and reconciled to God. He came with a purpose. This is all in this statement. This is not some simple little litmus test that you can just apply in someone because, I mean, Dave read it this morning. Out of 1 Corinthians, you can't say Jesus is Lord apart from the Spirit. Now, you might be sitting here, you might be an unbeliever this morning. So I can do that. I can stand up right now and say, Jesus is Lord. That's not what he means. You can't say that. You can't confess that. And John actually uses the word confess. Apart from the Spirit of Christ, you can't live a life confessing Jesus is Lord, I'm not, apart from the Spirit of God. And so it's the same thing when he says that Jesus Christ has come. And then the last part, and we'll move on from this, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, obviously, this is the incarnation. This is the second person of the Trinity who existed as God from all eternity, had no beginning, and he took on a human body. He didn't pretend to be human. He wasn't play acting. He joined the nature of God, his divine nature, joined to a human body, a sinless human body, but a human body nonetheless. Fully God, fully man. That's Jesus Christ. You see how this little test right here blows away every false religion. The Gnostics of the day and Gnosticism says that all material is bad and therefore God couldn't have taken on material flesh. This verse tells us that's wrong. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses that hold that Jesus was a created being, he was the brother of Lucifer, this verse tells us their teaching is wrong. That's false teaching. That's how you discern that false teaching. Islam, who acknowledges Isa, Jesus, but not as God come in the flesh, wrong, based on this test right here. This destroys every false world religion that is out there. And this is how you know that they are wrong. They don't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. This blows away the idea that, well, and you hear this sometimes, well, Jesus, I mean, he existed, right? And he was a good teacher, but not God. Wrong answer. He is Jesus Christ come in the flesh. He was a social activist. He was someone who set an example for us. No. He is either God, or as C.S. Lewis says, he is a lunatic or a liar, or he's Lord. Because that was his claim. And that's what this text tells us. So if you want to discern the teaching that you're hearing, this is what you need to know. This is the first test that you need to know. Now, to apply this, before we move on to the second test, I want to give you a twofold application this morning. So I want you to think about them, and I want you to think about you. Them being, who do you listen to? Who do you read? That's them. And then I want you to think about you in terms of this text. So the people, and maybe you don't. Maybe you don't look at anything on social media. Maybe you don't watch any YouTube videos. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. Maybe you don't read books. I think Dave mentioned that last week. How do you know the validity of the person that you're reading or listening to? How do you know? Oh man, I heard a really good sermon on YouTube the other day, and I listened to it. What do you know about that person? I'm just curious. Don't raise your hand. I want you to think about this, though. When was the last time you went to a ministry's website and checked their statement of faith? We don't do it. We don't do it. We assume it's Christian, it's church. T.D. Jakes is one of the most popular preachers in the United States of America, and he's a modalist. He doesn't believe in the Trinity. But you don't know that unless you go check his website and see what his statement of faith says. How are you filtering what you're reading, what you're listening to? How are you processing that to see if it is actually true, if they actually confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? You have to have some way. Don't believe everything you hear from me or from other people. Just because they have a to listen to it. Look up, there's a sermon out there titled God Broke the Law. That sent any red flags for anybody? Just because they have a big, don't look it up now because y'all get distracted and then you'll be sitting back there laughing. Just, if you're on your phone, keep it on a Bible. Don't go looking. You can look later. How are you discerning what you're reading and what you're listening to? Podcasts. what you're hearing just because someone slaps a Christian label on something. Be very careful. That's why John's writing this, because there are spirits out there that want to delude you. They want to take you somewhere else. And then how about you? This is the second application. So that's them. How about you? Listen to me for a minute. Do you know enough of Christology? Christology is simply the study of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, His person, His life, His work. Do you know enough Christology to determine if someone is lying to you? Y'all know your political views. Yeah? You know where you stand on politics. And you know when you turn someone on immediately, you can pick it up. That's not what I believe. That's not what I like. That's not what I agree with. You have got a filter in place because you've given time and effort to build and develop that filter so that nothing that you disagree with is going to come through. Can you do the same thing with the doctrine of Christ? I've got a test on my desk. I was going to make copies of it and hand it out, and it's just a waste of paper. If you want it, I'll give it to you. It's done by a guy named Tim Challies, who I have checked online, on the doctrine of Christ. I just wonder, are you bold enough to take it and see if you know enough about Jesus that you have a filter to keep someone from lying to you and leading you astray? I'm not talking about just when they come knocking on your door with their literature. I'm talking about when you're on the phone, when you're on YouTube, when you're on Facebook, whatever you do. Do you know enough of the doctrine of Christ to protect yourself? Test number one, what do they believe about Jesus Christ? Test number two, where are they from? Beginning in verse 4 then. Here's that address again, little children. And I want you to notice how he encourages them. So again, he gave the test, and now there's this encouraging word from the Apostle John before he gives them the other test. So verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, that is, the false teachers. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know, sound familiar? By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So just notice again, we'll get to the test, but notice the encouragement. And Christian, I want you to have this encouragement today. Little children, let me stop here. If you are a Christian this morning, I mean, if you're sure you're a Christian, if you can say, I have trusted Christ, I've repented of my sins, and I have placed faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, I want you to hear this. And I want you to be encouraged by this. Little children, you are from God. We've seen it so many times in 1 John, the doctrine of regeneration. You are from God. God has given you new life. You didn't ask Jesus into your heart. You didn't even pray the sinner's prayer. You are from God. God sovereignly acted in your life by His Spirit to awaken you, to give you life, to open your eyes up to truth. The Jesus that once was boring, all of a sudden He's not boring anymore. The sin that you used to enjoy and you loved and you wallowed in, now you don't like it anymore. You hate it. That's the regenerating work of God. You are from God. Christian, that's you this morning. If you have trusted in Christ, that is you this morning. You are from God. And He says, you are from God and have overcome them, the false teachers. John's confidence is for the true believers that he is writing to. These false teachers, while they may woo them, while they may tempt them, John's confidence is that those believers will overcome the false teachers. Why? And you guys know this. This is one of those bumper sticker verses, right? For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's why. You don't overcome him just because you're so great, or even just because you know good Christology. You overcome them because the Spirit of God lives in you. The third person of the Trinity, get this, lives in you, my Christian friend. You're not just out there on your own. You're not just out there flipping in the wind. The Spirit of God lives in you. What's greater than the Spirit of God? It's like the end of Romans 8. Who's going to overtake that? Nobody. Now, the Spirit that rules this world. This is the devil rules this world right now. He is the spirit of this age. But John's whole point is they will not overcome you if you are truly in Christ and truly born again. So be encouraged by that. You don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to walk in trepidation every step. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So he's encouraging them, and his confidence is in them. And then he gives the test. So the test comes in 5 and 6. And this one he follows. So that last statement in verse 6, by this we know the spirit of truth, is pointing backwards. Okay, so the last one pointed forwards. This one points backwards to 5 and 6. And the test is, where are they from? So look at 5 and 6. They, the false prophets, are from the world. And what is the world? We've talked about this, how people want to interpret this differently. And even John uses it with shades of meaning. But essentially what John has for the world is this fallen mass of humanity that has rejected its creator and has the characteristics that go along with it. Selfishness, evil, wickedness, that's the world. The world's not typically a positive term in your Bible. And the world is typically antithetical to God in the gospel. And so he says these false teachers are from the world, and therefore, this is the result, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. They're from the world, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. So I did my best to draw you a little diagram for like Alan, Linda, and Jamie. It's not going to help you much because you probably can't see it. But they're in this closed circuit. You see that? That's the world. And they arise from this very fallen, broken, busted, nasty, sin-filled world. And therefore, they have no option but to speak from the world. They don't have anything else to work from. They speak from the world, and the world listens to them. Now think about, again, what you watch, what you listen to. When you hear all kinds of worldly rhetoric coming from a professed Christian, preacher, teacher, blogger, podcaster, I don't care what it is, someone on an old-fashioned TV show. When you hear the world's rhetoric, your alarm should go off. If you hear nothing but worldly rhetoric from someone who professes to be a Christian teacher, your alarm should go off. I mean, just use the test. Someone you watch or listen to, and maybe you don't, I don't know, but I'm guessing some of you do. How prevalent is the Bible in their teaching? How prevalent is it? Is there a rightly interpreted Word of God that figures prominently every time you listen to them, every time you watch them? Or is there some vague allusion to the Word of God that you don't even know what they're talking about? And even if they print it on the screen, there's no reference given. There are those that do that, by the way. So that they can then just go on and talk about everything the world talks about. Maybe this hits too close to home. Y'all are really quiet. They're from the world. That's all they have to speak about is the world. That's all they have. And then the world, you see, that listens to them, John says. But let me give you another little tip. When the world loves your favorite preacher, y'all all right? Your favorite preacher is probably not preaching the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about someone who's popular in the church. There are big names in the church. There are. I mean, Billy Graham just went home to be with the Lord. You got someone modern like, say, John MacArthur or John Piper. They have big followings. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you can turn on your TV news show and your interview and you have someone like Larry King interviewing someone and they're in full agreement, you got a problem. Because when the world listens to them, it's because they're speaking from the world. They got nothing else. You've got to filter what you're hearing. Let me give you just a couple ways. So first of all, Bible. If the Word of God doesn't feature prominently in their teaching, I'm not saying they're immediately heretics, But you should have some check in your spirit that says, where's the Bible? I mean, if it sounds like a TED talk, it's probably not Christian. I've heard this before in being instructed on preaching. You can do with it what you will. If you can preach a sermon in a mosque, it's not a Christian sermon. If you can preach a sermon in a Jewish synagogue, it's not a Christian sermon. If I can get invited to preach my sermon at Philip Barber High School, it's probably not a Christian sermon. And that's not against public schools or public school teachers. I'm just telling you, they would look at what I say and they would say, I'm sorry, you're too exclusive and that's too religious. But if it sounds like a motivational speech with a little Bible verse couched in it, be careful. Be careful. That's how you end up down the path of false teaching. However, the flip side of that comes in verse 6. And so John writes, we, and I think this we, I think the second person pronoun, I think he's talking about, I believe he's talking about himself and the other apostles. We, those who are Jesus' apostles, these are writing apostles. We are from God. Remember what he said about you a couple verses ago, anybody? You're from God. You are from God. And he says, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so you see that the break in the closed circuit, they are from God. They're speaking out. They're not coming from the world and speaking from the world and having the world listen to them. They are from God. So they're not speaking the world's language and the world's vernacular and the world's priorities and the world's teaching. They're speaking from God. And those who know God listen to them. Now, let me just stop for a minute. If you are a professed Christian and you don't like your Bible, I'm just going to be honest with you. I love you. You got a problem. Based on what this says, we are from God. Listen to it. I'm not making it up. Whoever knows God listens to us. How do we listen to John today? We open a Bible and we hear what he has to say. If you are listening to something else, it may be indicative of the fact that you are not from God, but you are from the world. So whoever is not from God, and you see, I love the clarity of John, and he does this throughout the letter. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. You've got two camps. I'm not trying to be mean. Please don't take this as mean. The most loving thing I can do this morning is call you out if you are a false convert. If you love hearing the world, if you love everything the world has to bring, if you love, and I don't care if you're conservative or I don't care if you're liberal, I don't care if you're a fan of CRT or not, that's a discussion for another time. If you love everything the world has to offer and you find God's Word utterly boring such that you like to sleep on Sunday morning, you're probably not from God according to what John says. This is not me. I'm not writing this. I'm just telling you what it says. But friend, take some encouragement this morning. If you love the Word of God, you're at least here, right? I mean, that gets you at least a couple points. You're here listening to me for like 40 minutes. But if you love hearing the Word of God, there is some evidence, Chandler, I saw that. There is some evidence that you love God and you love to hear from God. So what is it? And I'm going to wrap it up here. So you've got these two tests. You have a filter. What do the people you like to read? Read that made me think of something. Hang on. Some of you read books. I know some of you do. Do the books that you read reference Scripture? Now, I'm not talking about fiction, but I'm talking if you read something that's supposedly Christian, does it look like this? This is a book I read not too long ago. That was right there on the microphone, wasn't it? Scripture Index. I know y'all can't see that. You don't need to. 18 pages of scripture reference. This is not an academic book. This is not a tome. But it references the Word of God so much that you have 18 pages of scripture references. So I looked. You guys have heard of Living the Cross-Centered Life that the book club is reading. So C.J. Mahaney in that book has 137 footnotes. 63 of them are direct quotations of scripture. Now, I'm not going to give you the name or the author. There was another book that I was given recently to read, and I knew the author's name, and I had a pretty good idea. I wasn't going to like it, but I read it anyway. Zero. Zero footnotes to scripture. So, what are you reading? And how do you know where it's coming from? You say, man, Wade, you're making an awful lot of the Bible. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because it's been said by someone, some preacher at some point in time, I'm not smart enough to preach anything else, and I am too smart to preach anything else if it's not the Word of God. So think about these two tests when you're reading. When you're on YouTube, when you're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, I don't know what I missed. Think about these tests. What do they believe about Jesus Christ? Well, I don't know. Find out. Find out. Where are they from? Listen to the content of their teaching and decide, are they speaking from the world or are they speaking from God? Is it full of scripture or is it full of what the world has to say? Are there scriptural footnotes like in a book? Or is it just someone's anecdotes and opinions? And that's the book I read. I told Jamie, I was like, I'm getting sick and tired of hearing about this guy's stories, man. That's not why I wanted to read it. It's a book on the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I'm worried about your anecdotes. So you've had roughly 168 hours this week since Dave finished preaching last Sunday. What has got more of your time? John's writings? The New Testament? The Bible in general? Or TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, news channels, blog posts? Let me just read it to you again. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Don't believe everything you hear. Father, thank you that you... this is hard for us. I understand that. But I thank you that you love your people enough to give us this truth. We're not left to just kind of figure it out, but you clearly tell us how we can discern truth from error, how we can discern if we're hearing from the Holy Spirit or from some false spirit through a false teacher. And I pray you would bring it home for us today. I don't know, Lord, this is, I guess for me, the joy of preaching is I don't sit down with every single person, but you know your people. You know the people that you brought into this room this morning. And I pray that you would work in each one where they need work. If they need encouraged that he who is in them is greater than he who is in the world, then I pray you would give them that encouragement. If they need admonition that they're listening to the world and not to you, then I pray you would bring that admonition to them. Have your way among your people right now, even as we sing your praise. Thank you for this time again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please?